7th District Congressman Tim Alberg joins us on the line, trying to stay warm here this morning on a Friday. There's nothing that Congress can do about that, can they?
Thank God we can't. We would probably mess that up to some degree as well. So, Balmy, good morning to you.
Well, although there's usually enough hot air in Washington that it melts most everything around there. But the frigid temperatures that they hit around here, it kind of all flushes down the toilet the whole idea of global warming, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's cold out there today, and the snow we had in the past couple of days makes it a pure Michigan winter. But having said that, I must admit that I'm a snow lover, so this is great weather for me.
Now, we've talked about in the past about the ability of government to never scale back itself. If it, once a department starts, it's hard to get rid of it. We talked the Cash for Clunkers program being one of them. There was a lot of items set into motion with the global warming idea. EPA got into a bunch of stuff, whether it be light bulbs, whether it be a fuel efficiency, whether it be carbon credits and all of that stuff. Has there been anything done to either slow the progress of that or to roll back any of that when we've kind of said that maybe the science isn't what they thought the science was?
Yes, there has been. On a number of fronts, efforts have been undertaken by Congress to slow some of that down. However, the bad news is that this administration is willing to impose rules and policies without the action of Congress. We believe it's unconstitutional. We believe this is a violation of separation of powers. We're seeing that for everything from OSHA issues to the Affordable Care Act that the president is implementing and changing policy on as well as law on, but just by simply saying it. And it was interesting to read 9 attorney generals across the United States came out yesterday saying that the president is violating the Constitution, does not have the power to do that. The problem is, how do we stop that when we have a split government and divided government like we have in Washington now, with the Senate unwilling to stand up and at least defend itself as really the most important branch of government?
Well, how does that stop, though? I mean, it almost sounds like those in those administrative roles, not necessarily even the administration itself, but those in those regulatory roles of those different agencies, are kind of thumbing their nose at everybody on some of the stuff.
Well, they are, and I was talking to my staff yesterday about the possibility of having an oversight hearing in the subcommittee I chair on workforce protections. We find out now that OSHA, which has longstanding responsibility for all sorts of work-related issues and safety issues, and does a good job in many cases, but has overstepped the bounds now and going into the agricultural setting, onto farms. And I'll be speaking with a group of farmers at lunch today, and I'll bring that out to them. And I expect to hear some of them telling me stories about OSHA showing up at their farm, their family farm, and trying to regulate. Now, the only way we can push back on that is two ways. One, either the president will stand up and do the right thing and put himself under the Constitution, as well as the administrative executive offices, or we'll have an attorney general that'll stand up for the president and say, "Mr. President, I love you, but you can't do this. The Constitution doesn't allow it." Ultimately, it comes down to the people making that decision at the ballot box, and that's frankly going to take place hopefully in November, this coming November, or it's hard to think of. We're in 2014 now, so yes, this coming November, and then subsequently in 2016.
All right, as we look ahead to 2014, diving into it here on this January 3rd, what are you looking at for the first couple of weeks of Congress in this first month of January?
Well, in the House, we're going to be looking at specifically the issue of security in the Obamacare website. Right now, very, very strong concerns about the lack of security, the ability for hacking to go on, as well as information that is being input in to the website, healthcare.gov, yet without necessary security precautions having been taken in developing it. We don't know how it's going to work, and we're finding already that secure, so-called secure information, pertinent information, personal information from individuals signing up for health care are being compromised. And so there will be a number of hearings, including House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, in which I sit, that will look at those issues and express our concern, but also look for methods of dealing with it to protect the consumer.
Now, obviously, they'd hope for, what was the number, like 3 million people to be signed up by the first of the year, for that to kick in at the first of the year. That was about a third of that that it finally ended up getting signed up for. What happens to those other two-thirds of the people?
Well, we don't know even if those people, the 2 million plus that allegedly have been signed up, actually are signed up. They push the button to enroll, but we're already finding out that insurance companies are informing us that some of these people never completed the process. They have not sent in the payment, and they have not been put on the enrolled list. So if they go to the doctor, most likely, number one, they're not going to have payment made for the doctor's services. They're not going to have a card that will show up, a number that will show up that matches them. So even that 2 million figure is suspect at this point in time. This rollout, and not simply the website, but the product itself has developed now, is going to cause a lot of concerns. And frankly, that's the reason why we have attempted to repeal it, why we'll continue to attempt to slow it down. So I guess you would say common sense prevails, and we can do what's necessary for the American people, and that's use a much better system that gives choice and responsibility to the patient and the doctor to make the best decisions for their needs.
Let me back you up here about 30 seconds, though. You mentioned about the payments. I thought everybody was supposed to get their health care for free, he says with tongue firmly in cheek.
With tongue firmly in cheek. This was going to be a health care system that allowed everybody to have health care without paying for it. And I've said that a little bit too strongly because that was never stated, but it was very clearly given that a lot of people would receive, for the most part, their health care at a greatly reduced cost, which we're finding is not true at all. There are some, Ken, that will receive insurance now or have the opportunity to get insurance that didn't have insurance before. But there are many of us who will have less coverage at a greater cost and less quality in the process.
After the first of the year is when the president comes out with his State of the Union address as well. And I know it may be a little early to start thinking about exactly what will be in it, but what needs to be in it, do you think?
Oh, gee, Ken, I think what needs to be in it is a president who stands up and says, we had what we thought was good ideas, but it isn't working. We want to come together and work with Congress for solutions. We want to commit ourselves to sitting down with Congress, its leadership and its membership in the coming year to try to work for solutions. This is a divided country right now. It's a country with great uncertainty. It's a country that has had a lot of roadblocks in its way and a lot of inability within its governmental systems to actually sit down and work together. I'm willing to open myself up to it as President of the United States. I'm submitting my willingness to sit down with you, to negotiate, to work for compromise to the best of our ability to move this country forward. That's what needs to be said. And I think there are many of us in Congress that would be very open to sitting down and coming to those solutions. But we can't when we have a stone wall that blocks us in the White House and also in the U.S. Senate called a Majority Leader Harry Reid.
All right. But if you were a Las Vegas odds maker, what number would you put on him actually saying that?
Zero. I think it's going to be a stronger, almost an in-your-face system or statement that says you can't continue blocking good government, Congress. You have to work with me. And frankly, that's not the way our constitutional government was established. And again, the ultimate change will take place if the people decide that they want it, and that happens at the ballot box.
All right, we'll see what happens when that finally does roll around. Congressman, thanks, and we will check in next week, all right?
I look forward to it. Keep warm.
You too. Bye-bye. That is 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg with us this morning.